Right. Let's look now at the book of Luke, chapter 14. As I said, all of the scriptures that we studied this morning and all the scriptures we'll be studying tonight and then next Sunday and Sunday night, we'll be looking at scriptures that Jesus spoke in a particular day. And a sort of a mini series in this series on the kingdom of God concerning a day in the life of Jesus. What would it have been like to have spent a day listening to Jesus teach? Well, here are some of the things that you would have heard Jesus teach. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus went to a home, to the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and that there were a number of people who accompanied him or who were there, and the Bible tells us that they watched him. He had some of his disciples, he had some Pharisees and Sadducees, chief priests, lawyers, a microcosm of the people who lived in his particular day. So we're looking now at the 15th verse, which is a response that Jesus received from a man when Jesus spoke about how we should live our lives in this world. Let me show you what we're talking about. Let's look at verse 12. Then he said also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now notice, verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, and evidently he's talking about all that Jesus has said and all that, and has seen all that Jesus has done, he then exclaims, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. This response of this man who heard Jesus teach is one that triggered then or caused Jesus to speak a parable. And it is recorded then in verse 16 through verse 24. Here's the parable. Then said he unto him, that is to the man who exclaimed, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He said to him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and thou hast commanded, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Jesus said unto him, he directed this parable to the man who exclaimed, blessed is he, that is happy, is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us then that the parable Jesus spoke had first of all the making of a great feast. Verses 16 and 17. Then said he unto a certain man, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. This was a very common practice to have a feast and to prepare it. Invitations had been sent previously. And then when everything was ready for the people to sit down and to eat, then the servant would notify the people who had been bidden that things are now prepared. Everything is ready. And then they were to come and to enjoy the feast. You'll notice that the servant was sent out at supper time to say to those that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready." I think this reference scriptures we've just read, that they have to do with the call and the invitation of John the Baptist and Jesus to the scribes and the Pharisees. The religious people were invited to enter into the kingdom of God. Now this is the statement, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And I believe Jesus speaks this parable in order to explain that these Pharisees and Sadducees are not going to be able, will not be allowed, to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have refused the invitation that God gave to them through his servant John and through his servant Jesus Christ. Now notice the response of those that were invited. Verse 18 through verse 20. Now, this is not the plan of salvation. This is not people who have been invited to be saved and then they don't want to be saved and they begin to make an excuse. These are just salient points in this parable that help us to understand the point that Jesus was trying to make with these people who evidently had a knowledge of the kingdom of God, but they themselves had never entered into the kingdom of God. Now they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. What they really did, they offered the acceptable, the socially acceptable reasons for not going somewhere when you really didn't want to go. In other words, they didn't just send the servant back and say, "We don't want to come to your feast because we don't care for you." They sent a socially acceptable, although absurd, excuse. And this was sort of a way of insulting the host, literally. And yet, it involved activity that within itself was not condemnable. In other words, the host couldn't say, "You people have offered some of the weirdest excuses that I've ever heard," and then have them condemned. It was just a way of getting out of doing something they didn't want to do. You know, a lot of times we just say, "Well, yeah, I'd like to come, but I don't feel very well." That sort of thing is what's happening here. Or I have some relatives who are in the hospital, or, you know, my mom's sick, or just anything that may not be really believed, but it's not anything that society can condemn. These were not any things that society could condemn. They were the things that people could understand and accept, although they were insulting to the host. They all, with one consent, that is unanimously, began to make an excuse. The first said unto him, "I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused." And the other said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused." Another said, "I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So what these men are doing are making an excuse, reasoning with themselves. "I don't want to go, but I'm not going to tell him I don't want to go. I'll just make this excuse. I'm not going to come right out and say that I don't want to come to your feast." Now, there are 3 distinct persons that are invited, that is, groups of people that are invited to the supper that was made. There are, first of all, those who received invitations, those who were bidden. It implies a formal invitation. That is, these people ought to have been expecting the servant to come and say, "It is now time to eat." They were the ones who had prior notice. And if anyone should have known that Jesus was coming, it would be the religious people who had looked and who had heard the preaching of the ministry of John the Baptist and had then witnessed what these people had witnessed and heard what they had heard as they had seen Jesus heal and heard him preach. They had, from the Word of God and from the fact they were Jews, they had received a formal notification. And they should have responded. And they should have responded positively. But they didn't. They were negative. They didn't enter in. They didn't say why. They just made excuses. Now let's notice in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. Matthew 23 and verse 13. Some scripture that maybe will help us to understand better. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 13. Now Jesus says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Now, Jesus said that these people were blind guides of the blind. They were people who saw the temple, but they didn't see the building of the temple. They were people who were involved in proselyting people to religion, but never witnessing to them concerning the power of Jehovah God. Theirs was just a religious experience. And Jesus characterized them as standing in the way, literally, of the people and not helping them to understand the truths of the kingdom of God. Now let's notice the invitation that is issued next in verse 21. "These are the outcasts. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly,'" now notice, "into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind." Now when Jesus sent word to John the Baptist concerning John's imprisonment, John wanted to know, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the one? Have I made a mistake?" Whatever we want to, however we want to interpret it, John needed reinforcement as to the character and the ministry of Jesus. And John said, "You remind him that the poor have the gospel preached unto them." They, that is, the poor people, the publicans and the sinners, responded to the ministry of Jesus, while the Pharisees and Sadducees made excuses and refused the ministry of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31. I think we'll see again a clear picture of what Jesus is saying. Look at verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came in unto him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority doest thou these things? Who gave thee this authority?'" Now notice who they are. They're the chief priests, the elders of the people. They are the religious leaders, literally, of the people. "What authority do you use?" "And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things.'" Now he says, "The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men?" And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, 'Why did you not then believe him?' But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." Notice, they didn't answer, "John was a devil, and we don't believe anything he preached." They simply said, "We cannot tell." And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." Now notice, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons," "And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now notice, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. Jesus spoke a parable, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Now one of them, whenever he was invited to work or commanded to work, replied and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Now evidently this has to do with the publicans and the harlots, the people who were not considered acceptable to their religion, people who had been disenfranchised from the synagogues, people who, according to the New Testament, had been cast out of the synagogue. This was their practice. You didn't live up to a certain moral standard that had been set by the Pharisees, then you were considered a publican and a sinner, and you were not allowed to participate in some of the activities of the synagogue. So these people, when John the Baptist came and preached, the sinners, the publicans, the harlots, the people who were not acceptable to Jewish society, at least religious society, they said, we don't want to hear this. Then later on, they repented, and they listened, and they heard, and they received the message of John the Baptist. And then Jesus said, you people are like the other son, who when his father came to him and said, go work, he answered and said, I go, sir, but he went not. In other words, these men were always saying, we'll do whatever God wants us to do. But they never did do anything that God wanted them to do. So it represents two kinds of people in the nation of Israel. There were the publicans, the sinners, the harlots, the outcasts. When they heard John preach, they repented and they believed John and they entered into the kingdom of God. When the invitation was given to the Jews, they said, I go, sir, but then they never did go. They remained outside the kingdom and the work of the kingdom. Now let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. When those who were bidden did not come, then he said, go out into the city and bid all of the crippled. And this obviously means those people who were called publicans and sinners, and invite them to come in. Now the Bible tells us that the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. Now he didn't say they refused, but he said there is room. These people did not fill up the feast area. There is still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now when the servant went to those who had been bidden, they made excuses. They were arrogant, insulting, and yet what they'd said was acceptable. But then the servant went into the poor areas of the city, to the beggars, to the people who were blind, to the ones who couldn't walk, and invited them. And they came. But still, there was room. Now, where's he going to go next? There's only one area left. That is to go into the highways and behind the hedges. Now, what was happening on the highways of Judea? what was happening out on the fringe area of the cities. Well, caravans were coming back and forth from all parts of the world. And there were people on the highways crisscrossing this land of Palestine from all over the world. Now, if you went out into the highways and hedges, you were stopping people who were not Jews. You were stopping the Gentiles. And you were inviting them to come to the feast in order to fill up the space that was not occupied by the halt and the maimed, the blind, and the crippled. This obviously means that Jesus would extend the kingdom invitation to the Gentiles. And we know that Paul said, finally, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles." Paul became the messenger of God to the Gentile people to fill up the house of God that was not filled by the religious Jews or by the publicans and sinners that lived in Judea. So the invitation was in three parts, and each time was expanding and extending. Now let's think of it this way. Suppose we were, I'll just say you, were going to have a feast. You invited your friends. You invited the people that you knew. And after you had prepared the feast, you started calling and said, "Supper's ready." But each time you called one of your friends, they said, "Well, we've had some problems come up and I just can't come." You call another one. "Well, you know, we're not feeling well and we just can't come." And after you'd gone through the entire list, no one that you'd invited was going to come. You said, "Well, we have all the food. It's going to waste. Let's call the people from the shelters. Let's call the people who are poor. Let's call in whoever we can find here in our immediate area and let them eat the food." So as you call in the people who are poverty-stricken, who don't have enough to eat, people from the shelters in our city, and they still can't consume all the food, you say, "I'll tell you what, dude. Go out on Interstate 30 and just direct all the traffic that you can in here. Everyone that's passing through, just direct them in here and let them eat so that the feast will be a success, so that the house will be filled." And I believe this is the application of these three invitations. It was first to the religious, those who should know, those who had received the oracles of God, the ones who read daily in the temples from Isaiah and all the books of the Bible. They should have known. They should have received the invitation. They didn't. But the publicans and the harlots, when the message was given to them, they received it. They repented and they believed and they entered the kingdom. And then there was still room. So the messenger went out to the highways and the hedges, which is symbolic of the Gentiles, and invited them to come to the feast in order that the house might be filled. I don't suppose there's anything any more embarrassing than having a party and no one coming. And this is the principle that Jesus built this parable around. Now, the point of the whole parable is this. In verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 24. "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Jesus is saying that the people who were bidden, and obviously he's talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that none of these will be in the kingdom of God. That fits all the other scriptures that we've studied. It seems to be supported by other incidents in the New Testament. It seems to be supported by what really happened and the life and ministry of Paul. And it seems to support what's happening today. We're the ones who are filling the house of God. But the ones who were bidden, those people who lived in the days of Jesus, those people who would not enter into the kingdom, who would not make up their minds, who would not make a commitment, they would not sup with Jesus in the kingdom. And all of this to the response of the man who said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God? Not those people who make excuses, but those people who, out of a need, can you imagine how thrilled and how happy the poor and the halt, the maimed and the blind were when the servant came and said, "There's a great feast prepared for you." They didn't make any excuses. You know why? Because they felt their need. They were happy to receive what was offered because they saw themselves as blind and halt and maimed and crippled. And they evidently responded the same way with a traveler. The man who was from a far country, traveling, who was tired and thirsty. And evidently, when it said go out into the highways and hedges, the hedges has to do with hedges that have been planted for a fence row. It indicates that the travelers had gotten behind the hedges and had prepared a place to sleep. And he said, "Go out and compel them." And he understood that it was going to take urgent pleading. That's what the word really means, compel. It has in it the idea of just overriding all of their complaints, just overriding all of their statements about and their doubts. I guess really more than anything else, wouldn't it be doubts? Let me show you. Suppose you were traveling. I mean, you were traveling in another state, and someone says, when you stopped perhaps buy gasoline or something, they say, "Look, there's a great feast just down the road. One of the biggest, most wonderful, well provided, one of the richest men in our whole state has got a great feast, and I have come to invite you." You say, "You inviting me?" Immediately you're thinking of a con game, you're thinking of getting robbed. You know, you're not going to just say, "Oh yeah, that's wonderful, I believe we'll go." You look at the wife and say, "What do you think about this guy? You think he's telling the truth?" "I don't know. I'm hungry, tired." "You?" "Yes, I'm hungry and tired." And he offers us this tremendous feast. "You want to go?" "I'm not sure." Can you imagine the doubt that was in these people's minds? So he uses the word compel. I mean, really insist. Tell these people, convince them that they are really invited. That was an extremely unusual activity, especially for the Jews, to invite the Gentiles to a feast in their home. How unusual, how extraordinary that was. Highways and hedges. These people who knew who was in the highways and hedges, they knew who were trapped, what Jesus meant by that. It was that was quite a come down. Don't we have to be convinced when we're invited? Don't we have to be convinced? Don't we have to be compelled to believe the gospel story in the sense that it sounds so out of reason? It sounds so far-fetched. It sounds so contrary to everything we've been taught and heard that someone wants to just, for no gifts or nothing else, just give us salvation in Christ Jesus. It overwhelms us. We wonder what the catch is. The catch is this man wanted his house full. And that's all. That my house may be full.